Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have a very special segment with some big news, and we have our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey guys, this is episode 28. Hi, Shauna.
Hello.
So we usually start with our weekly check-ins. Did you have anything going on this week?
I have just a tiny piece of news for my check-in, Laura. A
little bit.
This is going to just take you by surprise and really blindside you and our listeners. I had a baby.
What?
I had a baby this week. the overall recap is things went well. I'm doing well. Baby's doing well. But I was thinking, and you were thinking, that we could talk more about that in the middle of our show, like our big topic for the week. So we can save all the juicy details for that. What do you think?
Yes, we are going to do a deep dive into your birth in the next segment. So we'll save it for then, because it's too big of a deal to just do in a weekly check-in.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right then, that leaves you, my pregnant friend, all alone in your pregnancy without me.
I'm so lonely. All my friends who I've been pregnant with have given birth now, and I'm all alone.
Well, whatever. It's so soon. It's so soon. How soon? How many weeks are you?
I am week 35 now, wow. And my big check-in, I have a couple things this week. One is that you can probably hear I have come down with a bit of a cold. Yeah, which just you can't. Winter, you know, being pregnant in the winter, I guess, is just the way it goes. But I'm just so over it. It's not that bad. But, you know, when you're pregnant, everything is worse. When, you know, it's harder to get over anything. So, yeah, just congested and whatnot. And I'm pretty sure I got it at my baby shower, which is another part of my check-in.
Oh.
Which, I mean,
that's a terrible gift for your friends to bring
no
you.
No one intentionally got me sick. But, you know, I mean, I can only guess. It was either that or I went to a friend's bachelorette dinner the night before. And that just means, you know, I work from home. So I'm kind of antisocial in a lot of ways. I don't see people that much, so I don't get exposed to a lot of germs. I don't have kids yet, right? So I don't like get the like toddler germs like everyone else,
right?
But so, you know, last weekend I saw like probably like 50 times more people than I normally see on an average week. So anyone could have given it to me. I'm not blaming anyone in particular. But I had my baby shower.
Yes,
it was super fun.
Right.
It was so nice.
I should probably mention to everyone, because they're dying to know, I did not make it to Laura's baby shower because I also got a cold. But I didn't see Laura, so I didn't give her my cold. This is
definitely not your fault. Yeah.
Definitely. I made a point not to come, because it was the day before my surgery, and B, I got a cold and I just felt terrible. So
those
were
all valid, very valid reasons to miss it. I think it would have been, you know, it would have been awesome to have you there, of course. And I would have loved to have one more picture of us pregnant together. But
I know
I 100% understand why you couldn't be there. But it was fun. And we had it at my house. There were about 20 something ladies there. And then Corey was there. And so was my stepdad. So they were the only men folk. And yeah, it was just, we had barbecue. We played trivia. We played trivia, baby trivia. And our friend Jen, who helped my mom organize it. Actually, Jen did most of the organizing. My mom did most of the funding. And my mom will totally be fine with me saying that, because my mom knows that she's just been crazy busy with work, and she was like, if Jen does everything, can I just pay for everything? And I'm like, I'm sure that'll work out.
We'll take it.
So, but yeah, it was really, really fun, and I got so much stuff, and now I feel really prepared, except for I have to actually like unbox everything and wash everything. And
yeah,
but yeah, it was really, really nice, and I definitely felt showered.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. And then I do have one more thing. I know I'm trying to cram all this stuff in, but it was an eventful week. So.
Ooh, yes.
Guess who has a scheduled C-section on the books?
What? Did that baby not turn?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Aww. His head is in the exact same spot, always, perpetually, never even, like, very, you know, like, moving at all. I mean, he moves. Sorry, that sounded bad. He moves a lot.
Laura, I thought you were going to entice him with the ice packs. What happened?
Oh, I tried. I tried the ice packs.
You did?
It was just cold. Nothing's making this baby move. I'm convinced that there's actually might be, like, a physiological reason he's not turning, because he's just too consistently in the same spot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's like one day over on the left side and one day over on the right side. And, you know, he's like literally in the same spot every day and has been for months. Wow. And I can tell because his head is hard, right? So I can like feel it on my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's still a little hope. 35 weeks is not the end game, you know, he could still turn. I read on one of my baby boards that someone went in for their scheduled C-section for a breech baby and at 39 weeks and the baby had turned and they were sent home.
What?
Yeah.
Well, hey, you never know. It can happen to you.
So, but one thing I did try was I had gone to the chiropractor. I think I talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
And even he was like, yeah, I don't think this baby's going to turn, but we'll do everything we can to make a good environment for him to turn if he wants to. And I was like, great. And what he recommended was that I go to a swim class, like get in a pool.
I remember that. Yeah. Did you go?
I did go. It's at the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center, which, you know, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, the big stadium, has an aquatic center right next to it with like two Olympic-sized pools. And they have all these classes, and they have a class called Bump and Beyond.
Cool.
And I went, and it was so fun, and I was really enjoying it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I was crazy sore. Like,
oh, no, from using muscles you weren't used to?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I haven't done cardio. When's the last time I've done cardio? I've been going to yoga, but like the extent of my cardio is like walking around the block, right? So, and you're in the pool. They give you, it was cool. So they put you in the deep end, but they give you a flotation belt. So you're just kind of like, you know, like you go across the pool, like upright, basically. Like you're kind of like on a stationary bike, and they have you do all these other things and stretches and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, it's also possible I was sore because I was just about to get sick. Like, I went, like, the day before I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was all just compounded, but I don't know. I really, really enjoyed the class, but then I'm worried about going back again because I'm like, I don't need one more thing making it uncomfortable to sleep, you know?
Mm, yeah, 100%. Don't go. Skip it. It's Bumps and Beyond, so maybe you can go postpartum.
Yeah. 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 But it is a really good, like, I recommend for anyone in the Southern California area, or if you have them in your area, getting in the pool was really great. It just lifted all that weight off your stomach. It was awesome.
Oh, so, that sounds nice. Just floating in suspension, no baby weight pulling you down.
Yeah, part of me is thinking I could go once I get better and like just be like, hey, can I either like just take it easy or just like float here while everyone else does their exercises?
Can I bring my raft and my virgin pina colada and sunglasses? Just float.
Oh, and the pool is like kept at like 85 degrees. So it's like, ugh.
Yes.
So nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so that was my week. A lot was going on, and yeah, we'll see if this baby turns, but the magic eight ball says, oh, what, is there like a outlook not good, right?
Yeah, I think that is it.
Anyway, that's our check-ins, and now we got to go to our next segment, because I am dying to hear about your birth.
All right, here we go.
After the break.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Okay, so I don't know what to call this, a big topic. There's no special segment that could really cover this because it's just too good. It's too momentous.
Yeah.
It's the birth of your daughter. We've been waiting for this all this time.
I know. That's what we've been building up to week by week. This is like what happens at the end of all those weeks.
Wait, really?
Yeah, did you know that?
Oh, so you go through pregnancy and then you have a baby at the end.
A human comes out of you.
What?
Yeah, it's bonkers. You'd think I know that since I've done it before, but it still took me by surprise.
All right, so I want to hear everything. So Let's start. Okay, start telling us. We know that you had a scheduled C-sections and you were worried about going to labor early. Did you end up going to labor early or did you go as planned?
I did not. This baby gave me time to finish up things around the house. I mean, we were literally finishing things on Sunday. My appointment was on Monday. The grandmas were able to come into town because they were coming to take care of my daughter. Everything was just set and ready to go. I had packed my bag and she waited. Patient little gal.
Oh my gosh. So what was it like the night before then? Like, was that freaking you out? I'm heading in that direction. So
yeah.
give me some what to expect.
Well, it was very surreal, first of all, just because like the first time around my first pregnancy, I was just waiting for labor to spontaneously start. And it did in the middle of the night. I think I mentioned that before. So there's just something so different about being like, today is the last day I'm going to be pregnant and tomorrow I'm going to have a kid. So my mind was kind of blown. And then the whole day I spent just having like a little emotional ups and downs, especially with my daughter, who I was trying to spend a lot of time with, just thinking, oh my God, this is my last day with you as an only child. Like, life is going to change. And trying to picture a newborn in our house and in everything that I've set up for her, it just seemed just surreal and still so distant. But it was coming around the corner. So it was a lot of mixed emotions for sure.
Did you sleep at all?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. I think I slept a little bit.
Because your appointment wasn't till noon, right? The next day.
Yeah, I had to be at the hospital at 10. So I ate dinner. I ate a snack around 9 o'clock because I couldn't eat anything after midnight. Yeah, I don't know. I thought I would be like really, really restless, but I think I did actually get a little sleep.
How was the hunger? Because I feel like I'm hungry all the time and you have to not eat for 8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours. And thirst is worse for me. And I'm just kind of like, do I really need to not drink after midnight? And I kind of like, I don't know for sure, but I kind of bent the rules. The next morning I had some water and some black tea because I was also worried about going without caffeine for so long.
Yeah.
I was like, I figure if I don't put milk in my stomach, you know, food, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I knew everything that was fine. But yeah, I was
breaking
really
the rules.
Hungry. Hey, it's my MO. I've been doing it this whole damn pregnancy with my deli meat and my sushi.
Oh my God, so. Your deli meat.
Yes, I can finally eat deli meat again without guilt.
You can admit to it.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so you go in and
Yeah. The next morning we said goodbye to my daughter, told, you know, she knew we were going, took a last family photo of the three of us in front of a Christmas tree. And just drove to the hospital, which took eternity because, of course, traffic in LA sucks. And just parked the car and walked right in, like walked right up and was like, I'm here for my appointment, which is so different from last time, which is like my water broke and like, you know, and I had to go to triage and like they had to, you know, assess me right away. And they're like, can you just sit in that chair in the hallway and wait for us for a little bit? Like, okay.
So
yeah.
So they take you in. You suit up, I assume. And we have a little audio of you waiting, right?
Yeah, in the pre-op room, I took a little, just a little tidbit of audio with my husband getting ready.
Your husband, who is also our producer, our glorious producer, Steve.
Yeah.
So let's take a listen.
We are in the room waiting to go into the OR. Steve's getting dressed in his sweet jumpsuit. We met with anesthesiology and our doctor, and it's almost go time, and this is crazy. It's all happening so fast. Steve, how do you feel?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting ready to land on the moon or something.
You look like it. I think that outfit will protect you from asteroids.
Amazing how they got my height exactly right.
I know.
It seems perfect.
That's nice.
So that's cute. Were you talking about like Steve? Was he in like a full like OR gown or something?
Yeah, or- it almost looks like a painter white painter suit that you would buy from Home Depot or something. It's like legs, arms, you know, zips up and a big head thing and a mask.
Did you get a picture of him in that?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Necessary.
We'll share that. Yeah, so that was minutes before, and then in that pre-op waiting room, you know, waiting for the OR to be ready and give us the go-ahead and everything, and I got my IV and stuff, and I met my assistant surgeon, Howie Mandel.
Was his real name Howie Mandel?
Oh, yes. Howard Mandel. But my doctor did call him Howie on many occasions.
That's hilarious.
Got a real kick out of that. Especially because like the Howie Mandel, like we're all familiar with, is such a germaphobe would never be caught dead in an operating room near bodily fluids.
Especially like anything obstetrics or gynecology related.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And so I met Howie Mandel. He was really nice. And my doctor came in and they were just so kind and reassuring and just... It was just also calm. I mean, I was getting like butterflies and stuff, but overall just, dang, so different from last time. So different. Just overall calm.
You got rushed into a C-section last time, right? Like after many, many hours of labor, right?
Yeah, after many hours of labor, her heart rate just crashed hard and they rushed me in. Like they kicked someone else out of the OR and like rushed me in and I didn't know what was going on. And at the last second in the OR, her heart rate came back up. And so we went back to the delivery room and tried again.
Oh, God.
So we did that like 3 times. And that's when finally the doctor was like, do you just want to choose to do a C-section at this point? And I was like, yes. So in the end, I chose it. But like I chose it after all of that crazy experience.
Yeah. You chose it after trying for a while. That's
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of my – everyone's trying to get me to turn this baby. You know, like, oh, you could get a external version is what they – external cephalic version, which is where they like, manually try to move him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, doing all these spinning babies things. But it's just like I have this fear that then we're going to try to turn him. He'll turn. And then it'll just end up in a C-section anyway, you know?
Yeah. And possibly.
The way you're describing a planned C-section sounds really calm and kind of nice.
I know. And C-section haters out there are going to be really mad at me probably for like spreading this because obviously C-sections can be, you know, scary and it is surgery and stuff. But for me personally, compared to my last experience, it was very calm. Like, for instance, I walked in on my feet into the operating room this time, as opposed to like being on my back, ushered in, looking at the ceiling. This is before I got LASIK surgery, so I had terrible eyesight. Like my glasses were barely on my face. Like it was a literal blur. Like I didn't know what was what. I couldn't see anything. So I walked into this OR, which was probably the same one I delivered in before, and was just like, oh, this is what it looks like. these are the machines and the lights. And
you get a redo.
Yeah.
And in much calmer circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. And it showed, too, because of the first C-section, I just remember shaking uncontrollably, which I do know is a side effect of, like, the anesthesia and stuff. Mm. And so I thought I would get that again, but I didn't shake, shiver, not once. It was very weird sensation to feel your legs go numb. And I didn't love it, but I don't know, just knowing what to expect, I was way more calm.
That's awesome.
And not as scared.
All right, so you walk in, you lie down.
Well, I walk in and got the spinal from the anesthesiologist, which, by the way, the anesthesiologist team at Cedars-Sinai is just like a bunch of young, hot dudes.
No, that's the thing. You know that's a thing, right?
I didn't, and it took me by surprise the first time around because when my anesthesiologist came in, I was like, what? And so this time when like 2 or 3 came in to visit me, I was like, what? Why is this a thing? Who knows about this?
I don't know. All I know is that, you know, my parents are doctors and it kind of ekes me out because my dad is an anesthesiologist. So like it doesn't make me want to be like, anesthesiologists are so hot. I'm like, blah, barf, right? But I know it's true. So I think it's like orthopedic surgeons and anesthesiologists are like supposed to be like these hot young things. It's like, I don't know. It's a thing in the doctor world.
Oh, in the doctor world in general. Interesting.
Yeah. Orthopedic surgeons. I remember when you're like 5, 6 years ago, Corey's Achilles popped. And I remember I was going to take him to all of his appointments, but I had a full-time job then. So his mom took him and his mom and his aunt. And I remember like hearing more about how hot his surgeon was after his surgery to fix his Achilles than like anything else. I remember coming back and like he was all drugged out on the couch, you know, asleep. I was like, how'd it go? And his mom and aunt were just like, oh, his doctor was very cute. So, yeah.
It takes a person aback to be approached by such an attractive human during these times, but also quite delightful. So that was
lovely. You got poked in the back by a hot anesthesiologist.
Yeah, and my legs started going numb, and that's when they laid me down. And, you know, it's just such a weird sensation. I don't know, Laura. Just be ready for that. Like, I don't personally like that feeling of, like, numbness in my body. I've had that a few times, and but you don't feel a pain. That's the main thing.
That makes it all worth it, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't like it either. I don't like when I get numbed at the dentist. Like, it's such a weird feeling. But again, better than feeling the drilling.
Yes. So. Yes, exactly. So apparently the doctor's like, okay, so once I start the surgery, your baby will be here in 5 minutes.
That's so amazing.
5 minutes. He's like, the whole thing takes about 45 because I need to, like, you know, put you back together again. But it just was, like, really fast. And next thing I knew, I heard her a little cry. And the doctor is like, Dad, you got the camera ready? And Steve, like, took out the camera and he, like, held her up over the curtain, you know?
Aww.
Just, like, moments after she had been born. And she was covered in Vernix. Remember Vernix we learned about?
I do.
Yeah, the thick, waxy substance.
So she still had the Vernix. Because some babies, they get rid of it by the time they get to 39 or 40 weeks, right?
I think so. Yeah, she still had some waxy stuff on her and her little face all scrunched up crying. I will never in my life forget that.
Aww.
The image of that, the memory of that. Excuse me.
Is it making you cry right now?
Yes.
Aww.
I loved it. And I love that he did that. He's such a sensitive, like, thoughtful doctor. And I know that seems like such an obvious thing to do, but my first doctor didn't do that.
Oh.
I didn't even realize my baby was crying until someone was like, she's crying. I was like, wait, what? That's her. And I didn't know she had been born and no one lifted her up and they took her away. And I didn't even see her hold her for like 20, 30 minutes.
So
I loved being able to see her face right away and just, like, know for sure, like, she was out. She was, like, you know, good,
yeah,
like, healthy. And, well, I didn't know for sure because, you know, they need to, like, do little tests,
but you know, the crying is a good indication.
So I love that. And Steve got some wonderful shots. I'll have to show them to you. I'm
not
gonna
wait.
Share them with the world, unfortunately, because it's a little gory, a little personal.
We gotta keep some stuff for us.
So, yeah, I just love that. And then Steve went over with her and the baby nurse and started, you know, suctioning her lungs and getting her cleaned up. And pretty quickly this time, like, she was on my chest. They came over and the nurse was like, do you want to do skin to skin? I was like, yeah, and, like, pulled my blanket down. And so she got to, like, lay on my chest, like, really quickly. And
who was holding her there? Because your arms, right, are not great. At that point,
I think I could have my arms up at that point.
Oh, okay.
Actually, my arms were never tied down.
That's good.
Yeah, they just had them outstretched, like, when they were, like, putting up the curtain and doing all the iodine and, you know, cleaning of my stomach. But after that, I could hold her and stuff.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was really nice and really sweet. So they did that before they did any of, like, the vitamin K and the eye ointment or what, all that stuff. And so I held her for a while they were cleaning me up.
Stitching
me up. Which, getting
the placenta out too, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it had to be part of it.
You didn't keep it?
I did not keep it, Laura.
You did not insist it stays in the room at all costs?
At all costs.
This is a throwback to a previous episode, if people are...
No, I didn't want to keep it bedside like a bouquet of flowers throughout my recovery.
Just show it off to everyone who comes to visit. They have to meet the placenta first.
This is my placenta rosemary. anyway, one thing that is a little disturbing, this might be TMI.
Is there such a thing on this podcast? Come on.
Something to be aware of. And you're probably fine with it because you come from such a medical family and I come from such a eked out person point of view. It's just like the hospital, like the noises of, like, surgery, you know, because you're awake so you can hear it. Like, you know, like suctioning, like... I'm just like, oh, cool, cool, cool. They're suctioning my blood right now. And I guess, like, cauterizing, like, stuff back together or something. So you, like, there's some weird smells and sounds that I really wanted to avoid, but I couldn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, not to continually gross people out, but this is reality. My dad doesn't eat red meat because of the smell of cauterizing that he gets in the OR all the time.
Oh, that is so disgusting. Yeah. I can hardly handle it.
Sorry, listeners. Anyway. So we have some audio from when you were still in the OR, right?
Oh, yeah. You guys can hear some of her first cries. And then you could hear my doctor saying goodbye to my assistant, Dr. Howie Mandel. Let's take a listen.
Really? Huh?
Yeah, let me wait for a bit. She's yawning. I was trying to get a cry.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Put it on the list. Merry Christmas. Just doing the scan and then we're done.
Now that I have the voice recorder out, she doesn't want to cry.
Thank you so much, Howie. You're welcome.
Oh my God, that is so cute.
So cute.
Her little like dolphin squeaks. You know, like this.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
So cute. So anyway, so like the details that people love to know. She was 7 pounds, 4 ounces.
That's a good size.
Yeah, and she was 20 inches long.
Is that long? I don't know what's average. I don't know what's normal.
Oh, I don't know. I just meant like she's 20 inches in length.
No, I know. I just don't know if that's like tall or short or.
It's longer than my first baby.
Okay.
So, and I had like a doctor before, like based on ultrasound, tell me she was going to be tall based on her bone length. So I don't know. We'll see.
Cool. Tall's good.
Yeah. And she has like dark brown hair.
Which is bonkers, I think, because I was just expecting her to be a carbon copy of your first daughter who came out with like strawberry blonde, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because this one is a carbon copy, like in every way except the hair, it seems like.
Yeah.
Their faces look really, really, really similar.
Yeah. When you sent me, you know, obviously I couldn't wait to record to get this info. So Shauna sent me pictures right after the birth and I was just like, oh my God, she looks exactly like your other daughter. It's creepy. I couldn't see the dark hair because she had her hat on. But yeah, genetics are strong. Man.
Yeah. So after that, I'm all done in the OR and they wheel me to the recovery room and I am just out of it. I completely forgot what the hours after surgery are like because you're coming off the anesthesia, I guess. And I don't know. I guess I figured like because it affects my waist down, like the drugs don't affect my brain or something.
Yeah,
Like I thought I would be more coherent, but I was really woozy, really, really loopy, extremely tired.
Yeah.
And nauseous, even though I asked the hot anesthesiologist to please give me something to keep that at bay because I know I get nauseous from anesthesia.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't really do the trick.
Work.
Not really. But yeah, in the recovery room, I was able to do more skin to skin and nurse the baby. And Steve was sending out announcements to people with what limited reception we have. And it took me a long time to come out of the funk of the anesthesia. Even once I was in my postpartum room, I was still really, really, really out of it.
Was that a bit of a bummer?
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer because it's hard because you still have to like do everything to take care of the baby. Like you need to nurse her every few hours. And of course, everyone is just champing at the bit. I always forget that saying.
I think it's champing. I don't know.
It's champing. Anyway, everyone is like super eager to know this baby's name. Like it's the number one question. And I get it. Like I'm always curious to know a baby's name too. But it's just like people. My brain cannot even focus on a coherent sentence right now, let alone a name of a child. Like, just wait, please.
Are these people in person or everyone like texting?
Texting. Yeah, people. Yeah.
I think, if I recall, I waited until the next day to prod about the name.
Yes, I think so.
I would be respectful.
It seemed more reasonable. It was just kind of like in my haze, I was just cracking up at like people's desperation to know. And I was like, if you only could see me right now, like the name of this baby is like the last thing on my mind. Because, you know, we had some ideas, but we weren't 100%. And I wasn't ready to make a commitment when I still had whatever they gave me in that spinal tap running through my system.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I literally just had this conversation with Corey. I said, we are not allowed to make a decision about a name until 12 hours after I give, you know, I have the C-section if I end up having the C-section because
yeah,
I'm going to be out of it. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, because he's the one. He's like, I want to look in his eyes before we, you know, settle on a name. And mm-hmm. I was like, sure, but I'm not making that decision when I'm in like the haze post-surgery. So
that's so smart and so good because yeah, you will look in your baby's eyes, but it's going to be a different experience than Corey, who's fully like coherent in that moment, looking in the baby's eyes. Like I didn't connect with her at first.
I mean, it's got to be hard because you've just gone through this big surgery. Although I imagine that people who go through vaginal birth probably have a similar experience because it's so draining too. You know, every birth is different, obviously, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember our friend Jen, who we talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she was so out of it after her C-section. She doesn't remember agreeing to hyphenate her son's last name.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
That's what she says. She says she has no recollection of it, of agreeing to it. And now he has a hyphenated last name.
See, that's the danger. You got to wait 12 hours. Do it. Do it.
Yes. Okay.
Learn from those who have come before you.
Yes. He will be nameless for the first 12 hours and that will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's, so that sounds really nice. And then you were in the hospital for the standard 3 nights.
Yeah. I was there for 3 nights and it's exhausting because the nurses come every, you know, couple hours for various things. Check your blood pressure, temperature. Check the baby, do a bunch of tests on the baby, hearing test, I don't know, hepatitis shots, first bath. There's just so much that goes on at the hospital. So I was very excited to come home.
Did you have any visitors?
My mom and Steve's mom, they came twice.
But not with your daughter?
No, they took her to preschool. We tried to keep her routine the same and they dropped her off at school and then came up to the hospital so that they could meet their granddaughter.
That's so fun. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thank you.
And I'm so bummed that I got sick because I can't come meet her.
I know. What the heck, Laura? You got to get better. She needs to meet her auntie.
I'm trying. and back to the name. I know we keep the names private on this podcast for personal reasons and privacy reasons. But is it the name you thought you were going to name her?
The first name, yes. So remember way back this summer or something, we recorded and I was like, I think we have the name. I ran it by my friends and I'm unsure of it because it's kind of different and blah, blah, blah. That is the name we ended up choosing. It starts with the letter C. That's all I will say. And then probably in the last few weeks, we were thinking, okay, we'll probably name her that. Let's think about middle names. And we chose the middle name as well. Yeah. So
I love it. So
thanks. Thank you.
I'm so glad it went. Sounds like it went as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah.
And all your worries. Great. Think about all the things you were worried about and not a single one came to fruition.
I know. I'm so grateful. I'm just so, so happy. And I feel like I maybe sound a little more energetic than I actually am because she's about a week old now and I have been home from the hospital and I'm not sleeping a lot. But for some reason, I'm really lucky. I'm one of the people that gets filled with adrenaline post delivery. Same thing happened last time. And so I actually have a lot of energy that's carrying me through. We went to the pediatrician today and he's like, how are you sleeping? And I was like, oh, I've gotten some 2-hour stretches. And he's like, you need to sleep at least 4 hours straight. He's like ordered me to. He's like, you need to take care of yourself to take care of this baby. So I must not look good because he was just point blank, like, you need to take care of yourself.
You're like, what? I'm fine. Everything is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, all right.
So,
well,
anyway.
New chapter begins.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, so we close every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, I have a real strong suspicion what you have, but I'm going to ask you, do you have a BFP or a BFN this week?
Oh, I have a BFP.
What?
What? But here's the thing. Obviously, we know my BFP is that I have a new beautiful daughter. And my,
of course.
I'm grateful for my doctors and my husband who helped through it all. So I thought I would actually do a little something different for my BFP, which is tell you the things I brought to the hospital from home that I found really useful.
Oh my God, I need this so bad. Yes, lay it on me.
So I packed a lot of stuff. A ton of stuff.
You're like one of those giant rolling suitcases.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm not. Yeah. That joke was real.
Yeah, I did pack a lot of stuff just because I was like, well, you never know. I don't know. But here are the things that I used and I found really useful. And I recommend if anyone wants to toss them into their hospital bag.
Okay.
Okay, this is Shauna's hospital bag BFP.
News you can use right here.
Well, first, I brought my own fuzzy blanket, like a really soft fuzzy blanket. And I loved having that. And I didn't use the hospital blanket after I came out of my anesthesia funk. I just used my own fuzzy one.
Smart. Okay, good. Check.
Uh-huh. And I brought my own pajamas, which I tried to buy some that like were easy for breastfeeding, like button up the front, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I was really, really happy to have a couple pajamas that so I didn't have to wear the gown the whole time.
Great.
The hospital gown. I brought some, my own, like, slipper socks, which I like because I'm not a fan of hospital socks. They never fit right and they're weird. So I liked that.
So are these, like, grip socks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I also brought my slippers, thinking I might like slippers, but then I got really grossed out just by the hospital. I don't know. I didn't want to wear my personal slippers in the hospital on the floor.
Because you can easily wash the socks, but not the slippers.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. My own toiletries, like just like shampoo, conditioner, face wash, stuff like that. So when it was I was allowed to take a shower and wash my face, I could use my own products because what they give you is sucky. It's bare bones. Oh, and toothpaste, toothbrush.
Yes.
I brought this time, and this is going to sound so anal, but I love it. And I loved that I brought this so much. I brought a small organizing basket to put on my bedside table. So that I could put my earplugs, like nipple cream, chapstick, headphones, my phone, like little things that just the first time around either just rolled around off the table and on the ground, or I had to store them in like a vomit tub, you know, like that the hospital gives you. And I'm such a vomit phobe that I was just like, you know what? I don't want to keep my stuff in a vomit tub this time. I brought a little basket from home and kept all my stuff in it. And like a couple nurses were like, I've never seen anyone do that. That is such a good idea. And I'm like,
that
I
is
know
pretty
it
genius.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hats off to you. That's smart.
A Bluetooth speaker so we could listen to our own music.
Very nice.
We brought a little night light so that we didn't have to have the harsh lights at night. I brought my own pillow, which was wonderful, and an extension cord so that I could have my phone plugged in but still be able to use it. So that is a big one, too. I really loved that I had that.
That's smart. Like a power strip almost, or just an extension cord?
It wasn't just an extension cord. I didn't bring the strip. And it was enough. It was enough to, you know, plug in my phone and the speaker if we needed to or whatever.
That's awesome. That's so smart.
So those are my hospital hacks. If anyone can take anything useful from that, I hope you do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am, so.
And maybe we'll share this list on the website.
It will be on bigfatpositivepodcast.com for sure. Maybe even on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure.
Stay tuned to the end if you don't know what our Instagram handle is. So
yeah. Okay. What about you? BFP or BFN?
Well, despite being sick, I have a BFP.
Ooh, nice.
Which I have to have a BFP. It's the week of my shower, so. Generally, the BFP goes out to all my friends and family who showed up for the shower, and it made just such a lovely, fantastic time. But I want to especially call out our friend Jen, who we talk about constantly, and will get on the show as an interviewer at some point.
Yeah.
But Jen really went above and beyond planning my shower. She had planned your shower just a few weeks prior and our other friend Jenny's shower before or after that.
Mm-hmm.
She had three baby showers. She also was doing like charity work for gathering up Christmas presents for kids. And oh my gosh, she was doing like so much that weekend, and she still managed to like come up with all these adorable decorations and activities for my shower. And I couldn't be more grateful for you, Jen, if you're listening. I love you. And yeah, I just, you know, you couldn't ask for a better friend. So
I know she's
that's
the best.
It's a continual BFP. So
mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
That is our show.
It is. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Let's see. Do you guys have any comments, questions? Let
us
know.
Tell us what your C-section was like.
Oh, please do. We want to know, so feel free to reach out. Laura, where can they find us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group you can join. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, where you can find the show notes and links to anything we talked about in the show.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.